Commerce Commission says the banking sector needs more competition. In a surprisingly to many firm report, an interim report just released on its market study into personal banking services such as home loans, deposits, credit cards and overdrafts. The Commission says there's a two-tier market in which the big four Australian-owned banks have gained the major share and smaller operators offer no threat to that dominance. The Commission says the sector lacks disruptive forces to drive change and deliver benefits to consumers. It is recommending the government look at ways to beef up KiwiBank, speed moves to open banking to allow consumers to switch banks easily, and to get more information to consumers to make better choices. We have a request in to speak to the Commission about its report. We'll let you know if that can happen during the morning. But with us is Sam Stubbs from the not-for-profit or non-profit KiwiSaver provider and fund manager Simplicity. He has been a vocal critic of the banking sector. Sam, good morning.
Good morning.
Is this a stronger report than many were anticipating?
Yes, it is. I've been very, very surprised by how emphatic they've been. And yes, no, these are very, very strong words, and they really do put the onus on the government to act.
Let's work through some of the key points. Some states, the obvious. There's a two-tier market dominated by the big four, for example. Right. Let's get to some of the things they've honed in on with respect to that and what to do about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think that there are two very, very key recommendations here and statements. The first is that we do have this two-tier market, but that KiwiBank is sort of stuck in the middle there. It has the potential to be a competitor, but it is undercapitalized. It is too small to properly compete. So in terms of creating better competition, the most obvious first move is to get KiwiBank properly beefed up to compete. I think that's the first one. The second one then is to get true competition over the long term. You have to bring in and enact open banking. This is something that the banks have been have said that they will do themselves for years and years. We're now 5 years behind Australia and 10 years behind Europe on this. And so the message very clearly is it is now the government who have to act and basically create regulatory settings to force open banking. And when you do that with open banking, that means you can bring in new competitors. Those competitors will get customers. Once the customers arrive, the capital will follow. And then at that point, you'll start getting American banks, Japanese banks, other offshore banks properly competing in this market. But until you get proper open banking, that's not going to happen. So I think two very, very strong statements here.
Let's start with the latter, which is open banking, and just sum up what it is. Is it a bit like phone number portability? You're able to keep your account number. You're able to switch between banks without it being a major headache for your business or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So most people think of it in terms of true number portability. So exactly. So same as your phone company, same as your power company. The other interesting thing, though, is that what that also allows you to do is to temporarily give access to your banking data to people who can provide financial planning apps, education apps, and so on. So you can very, very quickly get an idea of how you're spending money, how you could save money, how you could lower your cost of living. Those things are very common overseas. They're provided by third-party providers. Some of them are free, some you pay for, but you can't do that right now. It's an incredibly manual and laborious process to, plug in every payment that you've ever made in order to get that information. So it will help with education, it will help with financial planning, and then ultimately will help get competitors into the market.
Just on those third-party apps, I think there might be one bank that provides this kind of pie chart of where you're spending. Is that all it does, or does it do things? Do some of these third-party apps do things like show you where you get a better deal, down the road?
Yeah, they do way more, and the banks have sort of played this masterclass of delay and obfuscation in terms of getting into open banking because they know that what's happened overseas is that it tends to reduce profitability by something around 10 to 20% a year. That is about $1 billion to $2 billion of money that would be in New Zealanders' pockets in that instance. And one of those things is because consumers just get empowered with knowledge. And so we've got to first base with some of these things. But while the banks control access to your data, which is effectively what happens here, you can't give it to anyone else who could basically give you a more objective view of your finances.
What's interesting about this is I think the Commission has actually put a deadline in, and it is a draft report, we should say, has put in a recommended deadline for open banking to be enforced?
Yeah, so these are a well understood set of regulations that would basically force the banks to provide what we call enduring open access APIs. So basically, everybody talks the same language in terms of swapping data between banks. Now, it's very common overseas. Clearly, it needs to be regulated now, and I think the Commerce Commission are giving a very clear steer that the waiting for the banks to do it themselves, turkeys don't vote for Christmas, right? So this now has to be enforced. That is common overseas as well. It's very unusual for the banking industry to agree to a move which would lower their profitability. So the government's been given a very clear steer here with a timetable.
Is it
governments for the
mid-2026? I
last
think I heard on Morning Reports. Sorry,
sorry,
I haven't
six or
got
seven
through
years, I think,
320 pages, but
yep.
mid-2026?
Yeah, I haven't either. No,
Right.
I haven't either. But the I think that at least two of these banks have this software on the shelf waiting to go anyway. It really is very, very simple technology. That this is not hard at all. So that would be a very, very generous time period in which to do it. But now we have to force the banks to come to the party on this.
Well, generous time frame when, as you say, we're 5 years behind Australia, 10 years behind Europe.
Yeah,
And we may
we
hear the
are.
same story as we've heard with the bank scams, right? Oh, for us to share this data, we need upgrade computers, we need the telcos involved,
Yeah,
all this
and
kind of
it's
thing. Do you are you
sure.
also of the suspicion that some of the feedback coming back to the Commerce Commission will be, we need more time, we need more technology?
Yes, and that's absolute rubbish. They have billions and billions of dollars. They have very, very sophisticated technology platforms in Australia that they could bring over to New Zealand very easily. In fact, one of the comments that the Commerce Commission made here was that they were surprised by how much money the banks were making and yet investing so little in new technology, innovation, and so on. So no, that this is, I mean, we use them. Everyone else uses these things. They're extremely common. They're used by banks all over the world. This is not complex at all.
Again, just listening to Morning Report's initial report on this as well, a suggestion of profitability being reported in ways that are misaligned perhaps with the way ratings agencies might assess them, if I can put it like that, Sam. In other words,
Yes.
are we getting upfront consistent metrics in reporting bank margins and profitability?
No, I don't think we are. I mean, it's very interesting that the Reserve Bank actually produces this data, and when you look at that and you compare it versus comparables overseas, our sector, as the Commerce Commission has just confirmed, is extremely profitable. New Zealand is the only country I'm aware of in the world, actually, where the four most profitable companies are banks. I mean, Fonterra, rates fifth. So we have an extremely profitable industry. And of course, what they will do is they will try and play that down as much as they possibly can. And you have some metrics thrown out there which are quite frankly laughable to anyone who works in the sector. And so when you look at their core return on equity, which is really what they're returning to their shareholders, the banks have been not only but here have been not only about 20% more profitable than their equivalents in Australia, but they've also been extremely profitable internationally. And so what's very pleasing about this report is that the Commerce Commission have had a serious objective look at that now and do confirm what several in the industry have been saying for a long time, which is that the consumer is unaware of how much profitability there is, but it is extreme. These are super profits, and they're really hurting the Kiwi household. If we had banks that were about as profitable as they are on average in the OECD, we estimate that you'd have between $250 and $300 a year in the hands of your average Kiwi. And so yeah, that matters. We have a cost of living crisis now. We need to get the cost of banking down.
Let's talk about the competition side of things. Putting a lot of pressure again on the concept of Kiwi Bank, saying it's not big enough, it needs to be beefed up somehow to be a disruptor.
Yeah.
Is that the only issue? Can you have one disruptor? And if not, what are the other barriers to more banks being competitive with the Big Four?
Yeah. So what you have right now in Kiwi Bank is almost the perfect situation for the big four Aussie banks, in the sense that you have this illusion of competition. Because they will go to ministers and say, "Minister, there's a state-owned bank we're competing against." But it really is a one-armed weakling in the ring with four heavyweights. They're undercapitalized. They've only ever been able to get about 5% market share. And so when you have basically a very well-capitalized bank, which is owned by New Zealanders, for New Zealanders, you will get more competition. And so the Commerce Commission, I think, has very, very accurately identified that we're in effectively the worst of all worlds here. We have a state-owned bank, but it's a weakling. So either wind up Kiwibank and then you legislate profitability, or you basically cap profitability, which I think would be very undesirable, or you beef them up and let competition come in. The other one, though, is that if you think about it long term, you're not going to get the American banks, Japanese banks, European banks coming into New Zealand until you have a fair and level playing field. And you don't currently have a fair and level playing field because it's extremely difficult to compete when you have what the Commerce Commission have said is an effective oligopoly operating in the market. And the only way that you can do that is open banking, because you have to let businesses come in here and get customers. Where the customers are, the capital will follow. So there's a very good reason why you don't have a particularly competitive banking market in New
Just,
Zealand.
yeah.
That's because it's very hard to compete.
Just there's another factor here, which is the perceived too big to fail size of the Big Four. In other words, were we to have another GFC or worse, another banking crisis, global financial crisis, people expect the governments will bail out the Big Four. There's an implicit guarantee there. Less confident of some of the smaller players. Now, we've got the deposit guarantee scheme. I think the latest from the Reserve Bank is it wants it introduced by mid-2025. Will that make a difference to people's confidence, given most people don't have $100,000 to put in the bank anyway? But will that improve people's confidence in moving to banks that aren't the Big Four?
Oh, absolutely. Because, because right now, if you think about the average consumer in New Zealand, it really is a dilemma, right? There are clearly four big banks, but everyone else is seen or perceived as really quite small, with a possible exception of Kiwibank. But then Kiwibank doesn't have the capital or the resources to be able to provide a full suite of banking services, which is another problem. So once you have the deposit guarantee in place, you will move to a brand name that you might recognize from overseas that's decided to come into New Zealand, and you absolutely will do that. A combination of proper open banking, a deposit guarantee, and also a government which acknowledges that it's now in the headlights on this one. It must act. It cannot trust the industry to do or to enact things which are not good for its own profit. And I can completely understand why boards of banks in New Zealand do not want to have open banking and don't want more competition. This is an amazing milking machine in terms of profits. But the ComCom is now firmly looking at the government and saying, what are you going to do? Because we have an uncompetitive market right now, and you don't have open banking, and why not? So, I think it's interesting. I think sort of John Key's departure from the board of ANZ shows his usual impeccable timing here, because I think finally the temperature's getting turned up on these banks here. They are going to have to do something very quickly, and or the government is going to have to force them to do it.
Sam, thank you very much. Sam Stubbs is from the non-profit KiwiSaver provider and fund manager Simplicity. We have a bit in to speak to the Commerce Commission. If that can happen during the show, of course, we'll bring it to you.